Now a look at what happens when we tip at restaurants.
I got it. Don't worry.
Thanks, Larry.
You're welcome. So you know what they do here? It's an 18% tip included.
Yeah.
And then they have a space for an additional tip. You know, I have to start doing math in my head now. And then what does it come out to? $2? I'm leaving an extra $2. That makes me look cheap.
No, just leave the 18 and let's go.
I decided. I think that's all they expect.
I'm not leaving any more additional tips here.
No!
I'm protesting it. I swear to you, I'm going to protest it. I don't think it's right.
I'm going to follow your lead.
It's a good protest.
It's from the HBO show Curb Your Enthusiasm that illustrates some of the complications that happen when the check arrives and it's time to decide how much to tip your waiter. That's from the customer perspective. What's going on behind the scenes? What happens to that money? Are there differences over the people who get tipped, the wait staff, say, or the bartender, and the non-tipped employees, the bussers, the dishwashers, the cooks? Well, a new guideline from the Department of Labor will change that, will change the rules surrounding how tips are handled by restaurant owners. Here to fill us in on these changes now is Andrea Strong, a food writer who contributes to Eater.com, where she wrote about this. Andrea, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, I think the casual restaurant customer, like me, might not even think about there being rules, existing regulations for how tips are handled. What is the current system?
Currently, if you are a waiter in New York City or across the country, you can be paid what's called a tipped wage, which means that because you are making supplemental income from the customer's tips, instead of being paid their full minimum wage, which the federal government says is $7.50, you can be paid $2.13 an hour. So it's much lower than the minimum wage, but they say that's fine because your tips are going to well cover that difference between the $2 and the $7. And that's called the tipped wage. And that difference, the five and something difference, is called the tip credit. And so when you go out to dinner right now, your tip is essentially subsidizing a restaurant's ability to pay their workers. So you're helping the restaurant meet their labor costs by tipping the employees, which goes to any service-facing job. So someone making your coffee, someone serving your wine, someone bussing your table. But the problem that's come up recently is that the people actually making your food, the cooks, the prep cooks, the chefs, the people washing your dishes, they're excluded from sharing in the tips. They make a regular straight minimum wage, $7.50 an hour. But that discrepancy between what the back of the house, the people working in the kitchen, and the front of the house, the service-facing employees, that discrepancy is getting larger and larger because a waiter working in a New York City restaurant can make, you know, several hundred dollars in tips a night, whereas the guy or girl making your dinner is just taking home their minimum wage times whatever hours they were there. So there's a big, that's sort of what has been the catalyst for the discussion about changing tip laws.
And I'll spell out the changes announced by the Department of Labor. There's still a public hearing or people can comment on this now. What are the changes they're proposing?
So under President Obama, no tips could not be shared between the front of the house and the back of the house. If you take the tip credit, meaning that you're paying your wait staff less than the minimum wage, you cannot share tips between front and the back of the house. And if you decide, I'm not going to take the tip credit, I'm going to pay full minimum wage to waiters and cooks, Obama still said, you cannot share the tips. Tips are the property of the service-facing employee. What the Trump administration is proposing is to roll back the Obama rule and say, if you are paying everyone minimum wage, you're not taking the tip credit, everyone's getting paid, let's say, $7.50 an hour, then the tips are not the property of the person who earned them. They are not the property of the service-facing employee. They become the property of the restaurant. The restaurant manager can do with them what they want. If they want to share them between the waiters and the back of the house staff, they can. And I think, you know, people who are in favor of more equity between back in front of the house see this as a good thing. Well, if the manager can split the tips, great. That solves our problem. The cooks are getting their share and the waiters are getting their share, but the law does not provide for that. The law basically will say managers can do with those tips what they want. So there's no protection right now for the employees, for the people actually earning their tips. The management could just take them all.
Right, and that's been a point that's been most controversial about this. It seems like that it looks like, as you say, in these new regulations, these new guidelines, that if you're at a restaurant and you tip and you think it's going to your server, you're okay with that, or it's being split between the server and the cook and the dishwasher, okay, you'd actually be just contributing to the bottom line at the restaurant, potentially.
Exactly, and it's the point that you make is a great one, because it's that lack of transparency. If you're out at a restaurant right now, you know your money is going to the server. If we're out at a restaurant post Trump changes in the tipping regulations, then you're not sure, because a restaurant can choose to do whatever they want. So it may, what worker advocates are saying is that it may actually reduce people's interest in tipping altogether if they don't know where it's going. Or you're going to have a conversation with the manager of your restaurant, every restaurant you go to. Hi, how are you? Yes, I'll have the steak. And could you please explain to me exactly how your tips are distributed before I get my check so I can figure out what I'm going to do? It makes it, like, kind of ridiculous. It would be a very good Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. But, you know, it's that lack of transparency can really hamper a diner's interest in tipping if they don't know where it's going.
Talking to Andrea Strong, she's a food writer. She wrote about new proposed regulations on how tips are handled at restaurants. A public comment period going on now for the Department of Labor. Andrea, just as you were saying that, Deb on Facebook popped up with a comment. She says she would need restaurants to state what they do with tip money before she sits down. Otherwise, she'll go elsewhere or covertly tip the server directly. So Deb wants that transparency or she's walking.
Yeah, Deb, you know, you're not alone. That is a really a big concern for worker advocates who say that this regulation doesn't really go far enough in protecting the restaurant worker and in giving diners the information that they need to tip properly. So there is a comment period going on right now. It will end February 4th. And right now, you can go onto the U.S. Department of Labor website, and you can see that there are over 300,000 comments, 303,759 to be exact. So if you have a few days, you could read through them. But I will just summarize for you that most of them are in opposition to this change in the rule. And for the reasons that we're discussing, that there's no transparency, that there's a really high likelihood that owners will just keep the money for themselves. It's, you know, I also should say it's extremely difficult to operate a restaurant right now. Restaurants are facing enormous costs. Rents, in particular in San Francisco and New York City, are incredibly high. And I'm sure you've seen in the papers that restaurants are closing at a higher rate than usual because of skyrocketing rents and an increase in the living wage, which, you know, I'm all for an increase in the living wage. People need to be able to put food on their table and support their families. The problem is that the restaurant business was not built on providing people with a living wage. It was built on providing people with the lowest wage possible and having the customer subsidize the labor cost with tips. So now, you know, if you're a small restaurant owner and you own, like, a, you know, a little Italian wine bar, and your rent is going through the roof, and now you're going to you're paying higher minimum wage because New York State has raised minimum wage, California has raised minimum wage. It's really becoming difficult for them to make ends meet. So restaurants definitely are having a hard time. And if then you have to, then you're saying, okay, well, pay everyone minimum wage. Don't take the tip wage for your front of the house people, so everyone's going to be getting the full minimum wage. That's a huge increase in their operating costs. And then you can share the tips on top of that. Well, maybe they're not going to want to share the tips on top of that because they have to pay everyone more minimum wage, and that they may want to keep those tips for themselves because they can, and it's been so difficult for them to make ends meet. So I think, you know, nothing's black and white, and there are definitely arguments on both sides. I think probably the biggest concern that I have is that these wages aren't going to get to the people that need them, and you know, it's almost impossible to find a way to satisfy everyone, to help the restaurants maintain their labor costs, and given all of the rises in rent and food costs, and help them operate successfully, but then pay their workers a living wage. It's really sort of a big conundrum.
Talking to Andrea Strong, food writer, reviewer for Eater.com, looking at a new federal guideline upcoming on how tips will be handled at restaurants. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this new tipping rule going to effect soon? Do you think tips should be pooled and distributed to the rest of the staff if the wait staff, the front end staff, are paid the full minimum wage? Is this a story about your life as a restaurant owner, a restaurant employee? Are you watching what's happening here? What do you think of the way tips work now? Do you think there needs to be a change? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll take your calls and continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Andrea Strong, food writer, contributor to Eater.com. We're talking about a new federal rule that would change how employers distribute tips among restaurant staff. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you work in restaurants or someplace else that relies on tips? What do you think of the way things work now? What do you think of this idea of changing it, allowing employers to collect the tips, divvy them up among staff or not, in exchange for paying the front-end staff, the wait staff, the full minimum wage? As a consumer, what do you think of this idea? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. To your calls now, Cindy is with us in Appleton. Cindy, hi.
Hello. Well, I spent 30 years in this industry, and the only way I could survive was on my tips. And I think that the service worker has just been degraded so much over the years. It's only getting worse. And I know you're talking about restaurants right now, but then will this eventually filter into the hotels so the maids don't get to keep their tips, and the bellhops and the, you know, all the people that haul your luggage and whatnot, and the chauffeurs, are they all going to lose their tips as well? I'm just wondering if this is going to become like a national let's pick on the service worker day.
Cindy, thanks for the call. Andrea, Cindy had a lot to say there. What do you think?
Well, Cindy, I feel you. I mean, it's hopefully it's not something that's going to be spreading to the hospitality industry. I think it is a restaurant specific issue. So I don't see it moving into like bellmen and maids in hotels and that sort of thing.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Ted on the line in Pembine. Ted, hi.
Hi there. The waitresses today they perform to get a good tip, and if they're going to take those tips away, your restaurants are struggling to find good waitresses and waiters to begin with. Leave them alone. Tax something else, or, you know, figure out a different way of getting it, you know, making the money.
Mm-hmm.
Ted, thanks for the call. So, hard for restaurants to get good wait staff anyway. Without those tips, it might be even harder.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, some restaurants have moved away from tipping altogether, like the Danny Meyer Restaurant Group pioneered that a few years ago, and it's tough. I mean, Danny is paying everyone a better wage. He's paying front and back of the house the same higher minimum wage. But in order to do that, he's had to raise prices of his entrees, and it maybe that will mean that people are going to be eating out less, and the waiters who are making hundreds of dollars a night on their tips are making less, so it's harder for them to stay there. They may go to a restaurant that is a tipping restaurant instead.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Ed on the line in Dodgeville. Ed, hi.
Hi, how are you doing? I'm totally against any type of change because these people, I mean, if you're in the industry, they work. I mean, there are people that just work their butts off. And when my wife and I go out and frequent certain restaurants, we ask for specific servers because we know that these people are top shelf, and they go out of their way. And to change the rule, it's insane. We won't go, or I will pay under the table. I'll make sure that the person that takes care of me gets what they deserve and not going to anybody else or the owner.
Ed, thanks for the call. Andrea, for Ed, some waiters are stars.
Yeah, but I think the issue that maybe is getting lost is that, you know, restaurants don't have to adopt this law. This is an option that will now exist that didn't exist before. So they can keep things as is. They can keep everything the way it is, or they can decide to pay everyone a minimum wage, do not take the tip credit, and then they can decide what to do with the tip. So they don't have to do it. It's an option. The other thing is that because of this comment period on the law and these 300,000 comments in opposition to this change, the Department of Labor actually has to respond to all of these comments. Under the law, they have to give a reason why the opposition comments were not persuasive to them. So it's going to take probably 6 months to a year for the Department of Labor to, once the comment period is over, for them to figure out what they're going to do. And they could do one of three things. They could say, you know what, these 300,000 comments, they make a lot of sense, and we're rescinding this rule and we're keeping everything the same. That's probably not likely. Second thing they could do is say, you know what, these 300,000 comments, some of them make a lot of sense, and we are going to revise the rule. So they could come back with a rule that says if you pay your employees full minimum wage and you don't take the tip credit, then tips become shareable between back and front of the house, and management is explicitly excluded from sharing in those tips. And that way you get this added protection and the safety for your workers, that they are the ones who are going to be sharing in those tips, not management. So it's possible that they could come back with that, or it's possible they could say all 300,000 of you are wrong, we're right, and given our current president, I wouldn't doubt him to do that, and we're going forward with this rule as we planned it.
Thanks for that call, Ed. Andrea, in our last couple of minutes, I want to throw in a new wrinkle that you wrote about. We're talking about how things work in law and in theory. You write that in practice, you see in restaurants sometimes wage theft, time theft, things like that affecting employees. Can you talk about that a little?
I'm sorry, I missed the...
You wrote about wage theft a little bit in your piece, that even under the system as it's supposed to be, it doesn't always work out right.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there are a lot of dishonest people in this world, and some employers are already stealing tips from waitresses and waiters and bartenders, and it's a huge problem. There's an enormous number of lawsuits against casinos and large restaurant chains for back wages. I mean, I think even, not that Mario Batali needs another lawsuit on his hands, but he was sued for wage theft maybe a year ago or so. So there's a lot of people out there who are not doing the right thing. And I think this legislation just opens the door for more people to do the wrong thing and do it legally instead of illegally.
We'll leave it there for now. Andrea, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob. This is really fun. Have a great night.
You too. That was Andrea Strong. She's a longtime food writer. She contributes to Eater.com. We've been talking about new federal rule going into effect soon. There's a public comment period. It would change how tips are distributed to staff at restaurants. The Department of Labor, as Andrea mentioned, is taking comments on this, 300,000 plus of them right now. You can find that on the Department of Labor website. If you want to comment more locally, you can still share your thoughts on the Ideas Network Facebook page. If you work in the restaurant industry as a restaurant owner or manager or wait staff or back end staff, love to hear what you think does happen when it comes to tips, what should happen as you see it when it comes to tips. Let us know again on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Coming up Monday here on Central Time, President Trump addressed international trade on a global stage this week, a big international conference. A Wisconsin expert on trade digs into the issues and tells us what's at stake, from our local North American free trade agreement to the World Trade Organization, new tariffs on foreign products, including solar panels and washing machines, and the risk of a possible trade war with China, South Korea, and others. We'll talk to the author of a new book on secularism and look at how religion and politics coexist comfortably and sometimes uncomfortably in the United States and in countries around the world. And we're going to check out some of the big winners at this weekend's Grammy Award ceremony. You can let us know right now if you are planning to watch, if you have favorites, or if you really just don't keep track of the latest music and who's winning the awards. Tweet us at Central Time WPR. That's all coming up Monday here on Central Time.